What's going on, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Sunday, getting ready to recap week four action. 4 weeks in the book, a couple more weeks left in the schedule, and we'll be in the championship in May. So spring season is rapidly approaching its end, and it's been a crazy, entertaining ride, to say the least. And I've enjoyed this ride so far. I hope you guys have done the same. We're going to go ahead and get started with the social. Facebook.com/SwagTalk. Twitter.com/SwagTalk76. Instagram.com/SwagTalk. And SwagTalk76 @gmail.com is the email address. So, week four in the books. Three games on the schedule. Three games entertaining to different degrees. And teams are starting to kind of make a move and push themselves forward or fall behind. We're starting to have some of the races starting to shape up and really getting to see where we stand. And this is gonna be a good week set up for next week as well. And we're gonna start off with our first game on the schedule, which was Arkansas Pine Bluff going down to take on the Grambling Tigers and getting a big victory against Grambling, 48-21. Big victory for Pine Bluff. And right now at this point, they're sitting at 2-0 in conference and overall as well. And they're sitting in the driver's seat right now in the West Division. And they're honestly looking like the best team in the division at this point. Obviously, there's still four more games left on their schedule, and you know anything can happen because they have a tough test ahead of them coming up. But this is really shaping up to be a team that's making a move, and honestly, looking like a team that learned a few things from the 2019 season and gonna be a tough out the rest of the way, regardless of how that season ends. Grambling, on the other hand, continues to struggle. They're going through some things that they're going to have to work out, and they're not looking very good right now, and they're running out of time. Only have a couple games left to kind of right the ship and end the season on a decent note. So Pine Bluff got the scoring started with 12 minutes and 14 seconds to go in the first quarter when Jalen Thigpen had a 35-yard pick six, extra point good. Pine Bluff led 7-0. 4 minutes and 18 seconds to go in the second quarter, C.J. Russell got Grambling on the board with a 4-yard touchdown run. Extra point good, capping a 7-play, 75-yard drive, taking a minute and 57 seconds off the clock. Score was tied at 7. 3 minutes and 34 seconds to go in the second quarter, Harry Ballard caught a 58-yard pass from Skylar Perry to give the Golden Lions the lead again. That was a 2-play, 60-yard drive, taking 38 seconds off the clock, 14-7. Extra point was good. Halftime score, 14-7. 13 minutes and 58 seconds to go in the third quarter. Josh Wilkes caught a 60-yard pass from Skylar Perry. Extra point good. 21-7 is the score at that point. 9 minutes and 29 seconds to go in the third quarter. Matthias Clark, a 4-yard run for Pine Bluff. Extra point good, 10 plays, 61 yards, 3 minutes and 24 seconds, time of possession. Score was 28-7. Grambling got on the board when Ross caught a 39-yard pass from Walker. Extra point good, came with 7 minutes and 23 seconds to go in the third. Capping a 7-play, 73-yard drive, taking a minute and 59 seconds off the clock. Score was 28-14 at that point. With 3 minutes and 9 seconds to go in the third quarter, McCray, the third, return a block punt, 7 yards for a Pine Bluff touchdown. Extra point good. 35-14 was the score at that point. With 48 seconds to go in the third quarter, Jeremy Brown caught a 28-yard pass from Skylar Perry to give Pine Bluff another 7 points into their lead. Extra point was good. 2 plays, 36 yards, 52 second time of possession. Score was 42-14. Then with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Jeremy Brown caught a 31-yard pass from Skylar Perry. This time, the extra point was no good. 10 plays, 70 yards, a minute and 50 time of possession, 48-14. And with 9 minutes and 4 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Foley caught a 77-yard pass from Elder to give with the extra point good, giving Gremlin their last score of the game. Came with on 2 plays, 77 yards, 58-second time of possession. Score was 48-21, and that would be the final. Again, great win by Pine Bluff. You know, they had a slow first half. They had a huge third quarter, 28-point third quarter to blow that game open. Almost similar to that big second quarter they had against Southern, but this time they were able to keep their foot on the gas and not let up. Pine Bluff had 18 first downs, 6 rushing, 12 passing, and none by penalty. Grambling, 16 first downs, 4 rushing, 8 passing, 4 by penalties. Neither team did much of anything on the ground. Pine Bluff ran for 56 yards, 1.6 yards per carry on 36 rushes, 1 touchdown. Grambling, 87 yards rushing on 34 carries, 2.6 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. So the run game was non-existent, honestly, for either team. Pine Bluff was 18-31 through the air, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, 346 yards. Grambling, 19-37, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 281 yards. Pine Bluff, 402 yards of total offense, 67 plays, 6 yards per play. They didn't fumble at all, 9 penalties for 73 yards. Grambling, 368 yards of offense on 71 plays, 5.2 yards per play. They fumbled twice and lost one. They had 6 penalties for 96 yards. Pine Bluff punted 7 times for 273 yards, 39-yard average, 3 punts inside the 20, 150-plus-yard punt, and 2 punts fair caught. Grambling punted 10 times for 368 yards, 36.8 yards per punt, 3 punts inside the 20, 250-plus-yard punts, and 3 punts fair caught. Time of possession, Pine Bluff 27 minutes and 53 seconds, Grambling 32 minutes and 7 seconds. Pine Bluff was 6 for 15 on third down, 0 for 1 on fourth down. Grambling 5 of 16 on third down, 0 for 1 on fourth down. Red zone, Pine Bluff was 1 of 1, and Grambling was 1 for 2. Pine Bluff had 5 sacks on the game, Grambling had 1. Extra points, Pine Bluff was 6 of 7, and Grambling was 3 of 3. Neither team attempted a field goal. And if you look at these numbers, as like I said, for one thing, neither team ran the ball really worth anything. Pine Bluff did a great job of getting pressure on Grambling. And offensively, Pine Bluff's passing attack continues to do very well. Skylar Perry, 18-30, 346 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Longo, 60. He was sacked once. DeJuan Miller was 0-for-1. Elijah Walker led Grambling with 13 completions, 26 attempts, 174 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Longer 61, he was sacked twice. Keylon Elder, 1-for-1, 77 yards, 1 touchdown. Obviously Longer 77. Jeremy Hickbottom, 5-for-10 for 30 yards, no touchdown, no interceptions. Longer of 11, he was sacked 3 times. Omar Allen led Pine Bluff in rushing with 11 carries, 42 yards, no touchdowns, along with 15, 3.8 yards per rush. Skylar Perry, 9 carries, 38 yards, along with 23, 4.2 yards per rush. DeJuan Miller, 1 carry for 12 yards. Matthias Clark, 8 carries for 11 yards and a touchdown, his long was 7, 1.4 yards per carry. Kylan Herrera, 4 carries, 2 yards, 0.5 yards per carry, longer 2. LaVon Williams, 2 carries for no yards. His long was 2. And Robinson III had 1 carry for a loss of 49 yards. And on the Grambling side, Elder, 11 carries, 65 yards, no touchdowns, 39 yards was his long, 5.9 yards per carry. C.J. Russell, 5 carries for 28 yards and a touchdown, long of 21, 5.6 yards per carry. Then Damian Brooks, 6 carries, 21 yards, 16 yards was his long, 3.5 yards per carry. Elijah Walker, 6 carries, minus 11 yards, long of 15, minus 1.8 yards per carry. Obviously, as a quarterback, his lost yardage was sack yardage. Same for Jeremy Hickbottom, 6 carries, minus 16 yards, long of 6, minus 2.7 yards per carry. Again, not pretty rushing numbers for either team. Josh Wilkes, 6 catches, 131 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 60. Harry Ballard, 7 catches, 124 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 58. Jeremy Brown, two catches for 59 yards, 2 touchdowns, long of 31. Tyrion Ralph, two catches, 28 yards, no touchdowns, long of 21. And DeJuan Miller, 1 catch for 4 yards. Grambling was led by Cash Foley with 5 catches for 111 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 77. Donald Johnson, 2 catches, 66 yards, long of 61. Kobe Ross, 3 catches, 56 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 39. Then Damian Brooks, 2 catches for 19 yards, long of 17. Darquise Brunton, 2 catches, 15 yards, long of 11. C.J. Russell, 3 catches, 9 yards, long of 8. Darrell Clark, 2 catches, 5 yards, long of 4 yards. Isaac Peppers led Pine Bluff with 10 tackles. Jalen Thigpen, 8. Kobe Watts, 4. I mean, 7, excuse me. Kevin Johnson and Tyler Smith with 6. Sean Steele and Xavier Mitchell with 5. Chris Newton and Timon Akins with 4. Jamari Watson, Zion Farmer, and Daniel Peppers each had 3. 7, and then they had 7 guys with 2 tackles and 6 guys with 1 tackle apiece. Tackle for loss, Peppers and Newton with 2 for each. Johnson, Mitchell, Steele, Tyler Smith, DeCarlo Hamilton each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Beard, Bentley, Singleton, Gray, Watts, and Akins each had a half a tackle for loss apiece, giving the team a good effort making plays behind the line of scrimmage. Sacks, Peppers with 2, Newton 1.5, Mitchell 1, and Beard with a half a sack. Peppers 2 forced fumbles. Watts with a fumble recovery. Thigpen had 1 interception, returned 35 yards for a touchdown. And McCray had a blocked punt. Grambling was led by Lewis Matthews with 7 tackles. Quincy Mitchell with 6. Hershey Williams, Lane Lewis, and Wesley Green each had 5 tackles. Estes, Martin, Powell, and Foster each had 4 tackles. Reed, Richard, Richardson, and Dotson each had 3 tackles. And then they had 8 guys with 2 tackles and 7 guys with 1 tackle. Tackles for loss, Reed 2, Powell, and Green 1.5 each. Lewis, Richardson, Foster, and Williams each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Vaughn, Carter, Dotson, and Cage each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. Vaughn and Lewis each had a half a sack. No forced fumbles. And the interception was by Keenan Fontenot. So again, this was, like I said, a really strong effort by Pine Bluff. Especially in that third quarter, they came out and bust open a 14-7 halftime lead and scored 28 points in the third quarter to put the game away. And this time they kept the foot on the gas and didn't let up and picked up another big victory in the state of Louisiana. So they're 2-0 against Louisiana teams and both on the road. And they're looking good. Their next game is Saturday, which is going to be a big game. It's at home against Alabama State, who we'll talk about shortly. And this is honestly a big game and potentially a championship preview. if you know, if things go according to the way they're looking right now, I mean, obviously there's still a lot of football to be played. April 3rd, they go to Valley, and then they host Prairie View on April 17th after a bye week, and then April 24th, they host Texas Southern. So not a daunting schedule, but they do have two pretty tough games, or two games that can potentially be tough, and two games that are but you know, obviously anything can happen in these four games. So right now they're in the driver's seat at 2-0 in the division, but they still have a lot of football left to play. As far as Grambling, they have some work to do. They really have to right this ship in a hurry. They're running out of time. Not looking very good. The Jackson State game probably was honestly the best game they played so far out of the three. I thought they looked decent early in this game, and they let it get away from them the rest of the way. Their next game is on Saturday at Alabama A&M, so they have another tough game, and this is a road game. The first true road game is at Alabama A&M on Saturday, and then April 3rd, they go to Houston to take on Texas Southern, and then after a bye week, they play Southern and Shreveport in the Bayou Classic. So three games left for Grambling, and they really have a very tough game coming the next week. So it's going to be important if they want to, A, get some wins, and B, get a 500 season, that they need to start with this weekend's game coming up. So really a tough slate ahead of them, at least for the first game. And that Texas Southern game is not going to be easy right now the way Grambling is looking. So it's really a tough road ahead of them. We'll see how they shake out. Now on to our next game, which is probably going to be the game that most people had their eyes on. And anytime this team takes the field, that's going to be the case. Anytime Jackson State plays from now on until whenever that coach decides to make another move, as long as he's at Jackson State, they're going to be the team that everybody has their eyes on. And they went to Montgomery to take off Alabama State. And Alabama State knocked off Jackson State to give the Tigers their first loss of the season, 35-28, in a very interesting and honestly a wild game, especially in the late portions of the second half. Both teams, you know, they both made plays. Jackson State kind of started a little slow. They really couldn't get anything really going early. Offensively, defensively, they played okay in the first quarter. Alabama State found a few things and was able to make some plays happen in the second half. I mean, the first half, late in the first half. And then offensively, both teams kind of came to life in the second half. But Alabama State was able to kind of make a couple more plays and actually seal that game with an interception with about 30 some odd seconds to go in the fourth quarter. So we're going to go ahead and look at these stats. Jackson State got on the board first when Glenn Messiah kicked a 31-yard field goal. That came with 10 minutes and 1 second to go in the second quarter. Seven plays, 14 yards, a minute and 46 seconds time of possession. Jackson State led 3-0. Alabama State got on the board with 6 minutes and 57 seconds to go in the second quarter when Jeremiah Hickson caught a 35-yard pass from Ryan Nettles. Extra point was good. Six plays, 78 yards, 2 minutes and 59 seconds time of possession. The score was 7-3 at that point. 4 minutes and 37 seconds to go in the second quarter. Messiah kicked a 22-yard field goal for Jackson State. Six plays, 20 yards, a minute and 54 seconds time of possession. Jackson State trailed 7-6 at that point. With 34 seconds to go in the second quarter, Jahar Booker cut an 8-yard pass from Nettles. Extra point good. 12 plays, 89 yards, 4 minute time of possession. Score was 14-6 at the half. Third quarter, Jackson State got on the board with 8 minutes and 26 seconds to go in the third with a safety, making the score 14-8. Then with 4 minutes and 48 seconds to go in the third quarter, Corey Reed caught a 17-yard pass from Jalen Jones. Extra point good, 8 plays, 50 yards, 3 minutes and 38 seconds time of possession. Jackson State led 15-14. Then with 4 minutes and 4 seconds to go in the third quarter, Jones, 3-yard run for Jackson State, capping a 3-play, 4-yard drive, taking 23 seconds off the clock. Score was 21-14. With 10 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Ezra Gray, 4-yard touchdown for Alabama State. Extra point good, 10 plays, 95 yards. Time of possession, 3 minutes and 58 seconds. Score was tied at 21. 6 minutes and 53 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Gray, this time from 49 yards. Extra point good, 6 plays, 86 yards, 2 minutes and 43 seconds. Time of possession, Alabama State retakes the lead 28-21. With a minute and 42 seconds to go in the game, Jalen Jones, 2-yard run for Jackson State. Extra point good, 14 plays, 67 yards, 5 minutes and 4 seconds, time of possession. Score was tied at 28. And with a minute and 29 seconds to go in the game, Ezra Gray, 50-yard touchdown run for Alabama State. Extra point good, 1 play, 50 yards, 9 seconds, time of possession. Score was 35-28. And as I said before, Jackson State got the ball at the end of the game at their own 26-yard line. They drove down to the Alabama State 44, and Jalen Jones threw an interception at that point with about 35 seconds to go. Alabama State got the ball and ran the clock out from then and picked up a big victory for them in their second game of the season. Jackson State, 24 first downs total, 11 rushing, 8 passing, 5 by penalty. Alabama State, 21 first downs, 7 rushing, 13 passing, 1 by penalty. 170 yards rushing for Jackson State on 40 carries, 4.3 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. 209 yards rushing for Alabama State on 30 carries, 7 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns. 180 yards passing for Jackson State on 19 of 50, one touchdown, 2 interceptions. Alabama State, 27 of 42, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 257 yards. Jackson State, 350 yards of offense on 90 plays, 3.9 yards per play. They fumbled 4 times. They didn't lose any. Caught a good break on that. 8 penalties for 55 yards. Alabama State, 466 yards on 72 plays, 6.5 yards per play. They fumbled twice and lost 1. 11 penalties for 90 yards for the Hornets. Jackson State punted 8 times for 27 yards, 34 yards per punt, 4 punts inside the 20, no 50-yard punts, 1 touchback, and 1 punt fair caught. Alabama State, 6 punts for 253 yards, 42 yards per punt, 1 punt inside the 20, 250-plus-yard punts, 2 touchbacks, and 1 punt fair caught. Time of possession, Jackson State, 29 minutes and 56 seconds. Alabama State, 30 minutes and 4 seconds. Jackson State, 6 of 20 on third down, 1 for 2 on fourth down. Alabama State, 5 of 12 on third down. They didn't attempt a fourth down. Jackson State was 5 of 6 in the red zone. Alabama State, 2 of 2. Jackson State had 1 sack. Alabama State had 5 sacks. Jackson State, 2 of 2 on extra points, 5 of 5 for Alabama State. And Jackson State was 2 of 2 on field goals. And Alabama State didn't attempt a field goal. As I said before, Jalen Jones, 19 of 50, 180 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He was sacked 5 times. Longest pass on the night was 27 yards. So they didn't really throw deep that often, especially on anything complete. Alabama State was led by Ryan Nettles, 27 of 42, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. His long was 35. He was sacked once. This young man continues to grow as a quarterback. You got to keep in mind that he hasn't played before this season, hasn't played football since his junior year of high school. So he's really not been that active in football, and he was thrown in the fire a few weeks ago. And now he's really starting to figure out this game. And if he can continue to grow, Alabama State is going to be a very dangerous opponent in the future. Jalen Jones, 22 carries, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns, 41-yard long, 4.3 yards per rush. Tyson Alexander, 18 carries, 76 yards, No touchdowns, along with 4.2 yards per carry. Jackson State went really heavy on the run game with the quarterback in the second half. 22 carries is a lot for your quarterback. So if he can handle it, that's fine. But you know, you really don't want to put your quarterback at risk of too many carries, especially in a shortened season like this. Ezra Gray, 23 carries for Alabama State, 195 yards, 3 touchdowns. His long was 50, 8.5 yards per carry. And one of the amazing things about the night that he had was he carried the ball 23 times and he gained 195 yards. He only lost 3 yards all night, you know, so he did a really good job of never getting stuck behind the backfield and always getting positive yardage, which is a huge benefit and a huge plus for a guy his size. He's not a big back, so he is able to really, you know, kind of weave through that Jackson State line and not get stuck in the backfield. As a whole, the Hornets only lost 6 yards rushing, so they did a really good job of keeping everything going forward and keeping Jackson State from making any plays in the backfield. Ja'Cory Merritt, 2 carries for 8 yards. His long was 8, 4 yards per carry. Ryan Nettles, 5 carries for 6 yards. His long was 6 and 1.2 yards per carry. Again, a huge night rushing for Ezra Gray, and that really changed the game for Alabama State. Corey Reed, 8 catches for 99 yards, 1 touchdown. His long was 27. Warren Newman, 6 catches for 27 yards. His long was 16. Christian Allen, 1 catch for 21 yards. Tyler and Richie, 1 catch for 19 yards. Daylon Baldwin, 2 catches for 13 yards. His long was 8. Tyson Alexander, 1 catch for 1 yard. Michael Jefferson, 8 catches for 76 yards. His long was 31, no touchdowns. Jeremiah Hickson, 4 catches, 63 yards. 1 touchdown. His long was 35. Jahar Booker, 3 catches, 46 yards. His long was 32 and 1 touchdown. Terrence Ellis, 5 catches, 38 yards. 19 yards was his long. Abdul Diop, 3 catches, 22 yards. No touchdowns. His long was 11. Ezra Gray, 2 catches, 14 yards. His long was 10. Ja'Cory Merritt, 1 catch for minus 1 yard. And Grantis Poole, 1 catch for minus 1 yard. Miller led Jackson State with 14 tackles, Barnett 8, Hampton 7, C.J. Holmes 6, Jumani Crane 6, Warren 5, Gladney 4, Studville 3, Dunn 3, Pillow Smiley 3, Berthley, Adams, and McIntosh with 2, and 7 guys with 1. Barnett, 1.5 tackles for loss. Holmes, 1.5 tackles for loss. Pillow Smiley, Miller, Crane, and Dunn each had 1 tackle for loss. Sacks, Pillow Smiley and Crane each had 0.5 a sack. Crane had a forced fumble. Interception, Warren, 1, and Hampton with 1. Moving on to Alabama State defensively, they were led in tackles by Ersar Davis with 9, Adams 7, Burgess 7, Brundridge 6, Culpepper and Echols 5, Rompersard 4, King, Harper, Scott, Adesipi, Carver, and Grady each had 3 tackles. Bryce Webster, D. Webster, and Ogletree each had 2 tackles. 8 guys had 1 tackle apiece. Tackle for loss, Bryce Webster 2, Darius King 2, Ogletree, Howard, Adams, Clark, Brundage, and Adesipi each had 1 tackle for loss apiece. Gaddy and Tarver each had 0.5 tackle for loss. Sacks, Webster, King, Ogletree, and Howard each had 1 sack apiece, as well as Adesipi, he had 1 sack. Forced fumbles, King, Adams, and Adesipi each had 1 forced fumble. Interceptions were by Troutman and Scott. So this was, like I said, this was a game that was really a back and forth affair, especially in the second half. That was just a game where both teams really just went crazy when it came to the late possession, the late possessions in the game. That fourth quarter was just wild as each team basically scored when they basically when they had the ball, and it came down to whoever could make that last play and get the W. So that was just, you know, it was an entertaining game, and that's what you're really looking for. Jackson State drops to 3-1 overall, 2-1 in the conference. Alabama State is 2-1 overall and 2-1 in the conference. So both teams, you know, they have still have a tough schedule ahead of them. Jackson State is off this week coming up. April 3rd, they do host Southern. April 10th, they host Alabama A&M. And April 24th, they play against Prairie View after a bye week, which would have been an Alcorn game on the 17th. So not an easy closeout to the schedule. That honestly, probably the three toughest games are still left on the schedule. So this last third of the season is going to show what they have, going to show, you know, where they stand as a team in the spring. Obviously, we know that they have some help on the way in the fall. But, you know, you do play a spring season, so you kind of have to account for what you do in that point in time. So, going to be interesting to see how they navigate this, especially coming off of a loss. That bye week should help, you know, to put some space in between what happened and get back to work and kind of refocus and move on. As far as Alabama State goes, they play Pine Bluff on Saturday, which is going to be a big game for both divisions. This game could honestly open up a race for one side or the other. They host South Carolina State on April 3rd in a non-conference game. April 10th, they play Valley at home. And then April 17th, they play Alabama A&M in the Magic City Classic, which could be the division championship game if things continue to shake out the way that they are right now. So not an easy slate for either team. Both of these teams still are in the hunt, obviously, but they both have some tough games ahead of them, so neither team can afford to kind of get sloppy and rest on their laurels. Alabama State definitely has to turn around and refocus because, they, like I said, they have a game coming up on Saturday, so they have to put this big win behind them and move forward. You know, it's like you can't slack. You know, you slack in these kind of situations, you will take a loss. And that's something that can be very detrimental when you basically are kind of hanging on by a thread anyway, as far as the division race goes. Final game of the week, Southern headed to Houston to take on the Texas Southern Tigers. And they picked up a victory, 51-23. In a game that was, for a good portion of the game, probably I would say honestly, pretty much the whole first half was closer than this score indicates. I thought Texas Southern did a good job early, you know, kind of staying in the game and overcoming some big mistakes early, but never really giving up. And playing a freshman quarterback, playing his first college football action, I thought they did a good job with him. But they just don't have the depth or the horses to really stay in a game like this. Southern was able to get it going in the second half and do what they really set out to do, which was run the football. And once the game became that kind of game, a physical, you know, pound the ball ahead type of game, Texas Southern couldn't really keep up, and they ultimately fell behind. They fell behind in a margin that they couldn't overcome, and Southern was able to pick up the victory. Southern got the scoring started first with 9:14 to go in the first quarter when Skelton threw a 38-yard pass to Howard. Extra point was good. 8 plays, 70 yards. Time of possession, 3:21. Southern led 7-0. 8 minutes to go in the first quarter. Southern got a safety. The quarterback had the ball snapped over his head for Texas Southern. Southern led 9-0. 26 seconds to go in the first quarter. Corey Howard got Texas Southern on the board. with a 3-yard touchdown run, extra point good, 14 plays, 87 yards, 4 minutes and 57 seconds time of possession, 13 minutes and 32 seconds to go in the second quarter. Sims, 22-yard pass from Lampley, extra point good, 5 plays, 73 yards, 1 minute and 43 seconds time of possession, 16-7, 2 minutes and 28 seconds to go in the second quarter. Keelan Davis, 54-yard pass from Brown, getting the Tigers back on the board, extra point good, 5 plays, 76 yards, 1 minute and 2 seconds time of possession, 16-14, 2 minutes and 13 seconds to go in the second quarter. Shaiki Thomas, 98-yard kick return for Southern to give them a 23-14 lead heading into the half. Halftime score 23-14. 10 minutes and 44 seconds to go in the third quarter. Sims, 14-yard run for Southern, extra point good. 7 plays, 73 yards, 4 minutes and 13 seconds time of possession. 3 minutes and 51 seconds to go in the third quarter. Howard, 18-yard pass from Skelton, extra point good. 6 plays, 71 yards, 3 minutes and 12 seconds time of possession. Texas Southern got on the board in the fourth quarter with 12 minutes and 41 seconds to go when Ladarius Owens ran a 5-yard touchdown run. 2-point conversion, no good. 7 plays, 76 yards, 2 minutes and 12 seconds time of possession, 37-20. Southern got on the board again with 10 minutes and 16 seconds to go in the fourth quarter when Sims ran a touchdown from 5 yards out. Extra point good, 5 plays, 45 yards, 2 minutes and 17 seconds time of possession, 44-20. 7 minutes and 1 second to go in the fourth quarter. Hinton for Southern caught a 6-yard pass from Lampley. Extra point good, 4 plays, 28 yards, 2 minutes and 11 seconds time of possession, 51-20. And Texas Southern closed out the scoring with 4 minutes and 18 seconds to go in the game when Rick Garcia made a 34-yard field goal to cap a 9-play, 42-yard drive, taking 2 minutes and 39 seconds off the clock, making the score 51-23, and that would be the final score of the game. One thing that kind of stood out in the game, every time Texas Southern scored, Southern immediately scored basically on the very next drive, and that kind of kept Texas Southern at bay. They never was able to put themselves in a position to take the lead. So if you look at it, every time Texas Southern scored, Southern immediately answered right back. And that kept them in control of the game, even though there was multiple times that Texas Southern cut the lead down to 2 points. But Southern always found a way to score immediately after. So they took the shots that Texas Southern threw, and that was something that, you know, honestly was if you're looking at it from a Southern perspective, was a good thing, you know, coming off of the kind of game they had against Pine Bluff to kind of get back into the groove of what you do and how you do it. Texas Southern still, like I said, they showed a lot. They played a very good game in all aspects, honestly. I mean, statistically, it don't really look that way in certain points. But, you know, this team doesn't have the depth that a team like Southern has at this point. But they fought, and playing a quarterback who you wasn't intending to play, you know, can go, you know, the game could have got really ugly early, but they stayed in it and kept themselves looking, you know, competitive. And honestly, I think they have a bright future if this kid Brown can continue to grow at quarterback. First downs, Southern 24, 18 rushing, 6 passing, none by penalty. Texas Southern 22 first downs, 9 rushing, 11 passing, and 2 by penalty. Southern ran for 256 yards on 46 carries. 5.6 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Texas Southern, 102 yards rushing on 37 carries, 2.8 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Southern, 13 of 20 passing, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, 202 yards. Texas Southern, 21 of 37, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 281 yards. Southern, 458 yards, total offense on 66 plays. 6.9 yards per play. They fumbled once, didn't lose it. First game, the Southern had very few turnovers. They only had 1. So that's a very good positive for Southern. 7 penalties for 55 yards. Texas Southern, 383 yards on 74 plays. 5.2 yards per play, 2 fumbles, they lost 1, 6 penalties for 50 yards. Southern punted 4 times for 165 yards, 41 yards per punt. No punts inside the 20, no 50-plus yard punts, and no touchbacks. 3 punts fair caught. Texas Southern, 6 punts for 248 yards, 41.3 yards per punt, 3 punts inside the 20, 150-plus yard punt, no touchbacks, and 1 punt fair caught. Time of possession, Southern, 32 minutes and 51 seconds. Texas Southern, 27 minutes. 6 of 11 on third down for Southern, 5 of 16 for Texas Southern. Southern didn't attempt a fourth down. Texas Southern was 3 for 3 on fourth down. Southern was 4 for 4 in the red zone. Texas Southern 3 of 3. Southern had 3 sacks. Texas Southern 2. Southern was 7 of 7 on extra points. Texas Southern 2 of 2. Southern no field goals attempted. The Tigers 1 for 1. Southern was led in rushing and passing by Ladarius Skelton, 11 of 18. 174 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, longer 38, 2 sacks. John Lampley, 2 for 2, 28 yards, 2 touchdowns, longer 22, no interceptions, no sacks. Jaylen Brown, 21 of 37 for Texas Southern, 281 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, longer 54. He was sacked 3 times. Skelton, 14 carries for Southern, 71 yards. No touchdowns, 28 yards was his long, 5.1 yards per rush. Rashad Muhammad, 10 carries, 64 yards, 14 yards was his long, 6.4 yards per rush, no touchdowns. Gerard Sims, 7 carries, 41 yards, 2 touchdowns, longer 14, 5.9 yards per rush. Excuse me. Craig Nelson, 5 carries, 32 yards. No touchdowns, a longer 16, 6.4 yards per carry. Devon Ben, 6 carries, 23 yards. Longer 6, 3.8 yards per carry. Corey Williams, 2 carries, 17 yards. No touchdowns, longer 10, 8.5 yards per carry. Travian Benjamin, 1 carry for 10 yards. One of the things that if you look at what Southern did, none of their backs lost any yardage carrying the ball. Skelton lost 17 yards, mainly due to sacks. But, you know, when you run the ball with that many people outside of the quarterback, you had six guys get at least 1 carry, 5 guys get at least 2, and nobody lost any yardage. You know, that was a good job by the offensive line to keep Texas Southern out of the backfield, and a good job by the backs to fight for positive yardage anytime that they had to. Ja'Cory Howard led Texas Southern with 14 carries for 59 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 15, 4.2 yards per carry. Ladarius Owens, 11 carries, 42 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 11, 3.8 yards per carry. Jalen Nelson, 5 carries for 35 yards, longer 21, 7 yards per carry. Dominic Franklin, 1 carry for 3 yards, longer 3. Jaylen Brown, 4 carries, minus 16 yards, longer 9, minus 4 yards per carry. Keelan Davis, 2 carries, minus 21 yards, minus 10.5 yards per carry. Again, Texas Southern, no, very, very minimal loss yardage by their backs, only 4 yards lost by the backs. So they also did a good job of, you know, getting positive yardage anytime you carry the ball. So both teams did a good job of basically fighting for any yardage that they got when they ran the ball. Ethan Howard led Southern with 2 catches for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns, longer 38. Corey Williams, 2 catches, 37 yards, longer 29. Marquise McClain, 1 catch for 31 yards. Gerard Sims, 1 catch for 22 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Hinton, 2 catches, 19 yards, a touchdown, a longer 13. Craig Nelson, 1 catch for 17 yards. Jorian Valian, 3 catches for 15 yards, longer 8. Tyler Kirkwood, 1 catch for 5 yards. Texas Southern, Keelan Davis, 3 catches, 85 yards, longer 54, and a touchdown. Owsby Mitchell, 3 catches, 58 yards, 41 yards was his long. Jyron Johnson, 6 catches, 52 yards, longer 14. King Blanton, 3 catches, 40 yards, 26 yards of his long. Jonathan Giles, 4 catches, 36 yards, 16 yards of his long. Ja'Cory Howard, 1 catch for 10 yards. Kadarius Owens, 1 catch, no yards. Jacoby Jones led Southern with 7 tackles. Jordan Lewis with 6. Aaron Anderson with 6. Caleb Carter with 5. Adrian Rivers with 4. Tamari Smith, Chase Foster, and Cordell Caldwell, and Andre Jones, Devin Cotton, Kenan Tate each had 3. Also, Jalen Ivey had 3 tackles. Glenn Brown, Raheem Shorter, and Latrell Johnson each had 2. And then they had 9 guys with 1 tackle apiece. Tackles for loss, Lewis, 3. Nash, 1. Anderson and Carter also had 1. Johnson, Gaden, Ivy, and Tate each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. Lewis, 2 sacks. Johnson and Gaden each had a half a sack apiece. Nash forced a fumble. Bird, fumble recovery. Interception, Jones returned it for 1 interception return for 47 yards. Anderson led Texas Southern with 10 tackles. Prince, 8, Markintel, 7, Williams, Cooper, and Martinez with 5, Battajoe and Pippins each had 4, Walker and Robinson with 3, Walton, Hamilton, Mitchell with 2, and then they had 7 guys with 1 tackle apiece. Tackles for loss, Prince, 1.5, Williams, 1, and Anderson with a half a tackle for loss. Sacks were by Prince and Williams, each with 1. Interception was by Walker, returned it for 24 yards. And like I said, this was a game Southern had to come out and take control of this game. You know, if they want to stay in the race in the division, they had to fight and win this game. And they had something to prove, and I think they came out and made a statement. Now, that doesn't mean that that's going to carry them through the whole season, but, you know, in a week-by-week basis with this shortened season, I thought they did a good job of picking up the W. Texas Southern fought early. I think they just wore down, you know, depth-wise and playing a young quarterback. He started being put in positions that they just, you know, really couldn't overcome. But they're going to be a dangerous opponent in the future. They obviously did pick up a win because they play Alcorn, but that game is, you know, they still have not picked up an on-the-field win in quite some time, so they still need to get over that hump. But they're gonna get better. I mean, obviously you can't stay down forever, and you're gonna have to come up. And I think they're showing that they have that fight in them, kind of like they did toward the mid and end portions of the 2019 season. So they're not going to be an easy out, but, you know, they still have some work to do. Southern has a bye week because they would have been playing Alcorn on Saturday, but because of Alcorn opting out, there's no game for Southern. April 3rd, they go to Jackson. April 10th, they go to Prairie View. And April 17th, they go to Shreveport to take on Grambling. So, again, not an easy closeout to the season for Southern. No matter where Grambling stands right now, that's still a tough game because it's a rivalry game, and they will be ready. Prairie View is a team who is still putting things together, but they're dangerous, and obviously Jackson State is what they are at this point. You know, that's a dangerous team, you know, and a lot of eyes are going to be on that game regardless of what the outcome is. So there's still a lot of major football left to be played for Southern. There still is goals ahead of them. But unfortunately, they have the scoreboard watch for the rest of the season. So, you know, that Pine Bluff game really set them behind the A ball a bit. Texas Southern, they are off this week. This upcoming week, April 3rd, they play Grambling at home. April 17th, they play Valley at home. And then April 24th, they go to Pine Bluff. So, they have a couple opportunities to pick up some W's. I'm not saying that Grambling is a show win, because Grambling still is Grambling, regardless of where they stand right now. At some point, they will get it together. Valley, is a team that I think Texas Southern can beat. They should have beat them last year. They just turned the ball over way too many times. Valley's not as good defensively as they were last year, although they haven't played very many games, so we don't really know for sure where they stand. But that's a game that Texas Southern can win. It's at home, and then they close out at Pine Bluff. So that's, you know, that could be a team who at this point is playing for a division championship, which would make this game very challenging for Texas Southern. So again, you know, not a slow week at all. I mean, let's say we only had three games. There was a lot of excitement, and you know, all these games carry some weight at some point in each division. So that's what we are right now with these kind of shortened seasons. Every game means something. You can't lose really. You lose one, you put yourself in a tough bind, especially if you lose a division game, put you in an even tougher bind. So a lot of football still left to be played, but at the same time, not a lot of football left to be played. But we'll be back on Wednesday to preview the Week 5 game. And hopefully everybody has a good week. Again, stay safe. Protect yourself, mask up. The COVID is real. We're having some family things going on with that right now. So everybody, just please stay safe and just watch out for yourself and your loved ones. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday. We out of here.